Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 96. It is, by the way, 2026. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo. Thanks for getting through the holidays and turning us back on. Hello, Kendra. How's your 2026 Year of the Horse starting?
Great. So good. Green grass.
That was my come on camera voice.
No, everything's wonderful. The only thing, it is bizarre that the spring flowers are blooming in January, but they've been blooming since November, so I don't know. Anyway, it's beautiful. We've had a lot of rain, and it is green and a beautiful start to an early spring.
Well, I am in the Mile High City, parked about 65 feet from the horse pens behind the notorious Denver Coliseum, where the cell service is terrible, so hopefully we don't go down during the show. I am in my RV, and it's not as cold as it can be here, but have plenty of heaters, and I'm ready for the 16 best days in January here in Denver. So here we go.
Is there a strong scent of ammonia where you are, since you're near the horse area?
No, there's a strong sense of weed, because they built weed factories all around here. So there's a small sense of smell of hops and weed. They're cooking weed all over here. So there's
okay.
That. Hey, we're into 2026. Question for you, because everybody's always interested. What are your New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I don't do those.
Oh, you don't?
I don't do those. I've never really just, no. I don't. I think I have always thought that those were kind of silly. Hey, to everybody, you know, to each their own, whatever works for people. But I remember a year ago when I signed up to do Pilates classes, they were like, yeah, it's hard to get into the classes, you know, in January, but then it's wide open after that because everybody blows their resolution sort of. Anyway, whatever. I'm just like, either you're going to change the way you live or not is kind of my feeling. And this kind of just came up for us because Oates just been to the doctor for checkups and stuff. And, you know, there are some doctors that just want to give you a pill for everything, where I'm like, no, just, you know, eat less, exercise more, you know, do it the old fashioned way. Don't take a pill, you know. So whatever. But anyway, I did read something that I do plan to use because I just think it's an interesting concept, and it's not just like, oh, I'll do this for January and stop. But it is what would you like to start? What would you like to stop? What would you like to continue? That seems really reasonable as in terms of general lifestyle, you know, choices and decisions. Like mine are pretty obvious, I think. And
you think
so? What?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're.
I'll give
you
an example. Here's an example. Okay, so sometimes the Department of Motor Vehicles will send you a notice when your driver's license expires. Okay, so I have a birthday this month. So here came the offer a month or two ago. If you send in whatever it is, $48 or whatever it is, without any paperwork or tests or anything, we'll just send you a new driver's license. And so, okay, great. So I get home from the NFR and I had my new driver's license in the mail. But this is when it hits me. When I pick it up and I look at it and I go, yeah, I still kind of look the same. But then bing, bing, bing is flashing at me on the weight. And I'm like, oh, because forever and a day, I weighed the same for like decades. I weighed as an adult, I weighed the same, but right at this moment, I weigh 25 pounds more than my driver's license. And I'm like, okay, now, wait a minute. You're a good cook and everything. Oh, but that doesn't mean I have to eat it all. And so, anyway, that is kind of, so my stop is I have to stop eating so much at night. That is a lifelong habit. Can't continue to do that. Too. I thought I was immune because of my genetics are very favorable. Both my parents, you know, my dad lived a very long, healthy life. My mom's 87 and thriving. Very healthy people. You know, no one's overweight or anything. But if I don't turn the ship around, you know, the 3 pounds a year deal catches up with you and suddenly you go, ow, 25. Okay, that's not just like, that's not me saying that because I want you to go, oh, you do like just fine. No, 25 is 25 pounds. Okay, so. Is there anything you'd like to stop besides badgering me?
Okay, I didn't. You're going to get everybody shooting me text again. I was very quiet. What would I like to stop? I want to stop complaining. I want to, because, and it kind of goes into start, but I'll put it this way. I want to stop complaining. I want to have a better attitude because all things considered, I've got nothing to complain about. So I'm going to try to stop complaining. All right. So you're going to stop eating after 6 p.m. I'm going to stop complaining.
Well, I'm not setting an exact time, but, you know, none of this. I grew up on a lot of my grandmothers, my mom, myself, the baking and the eating and enjoying these, you know, late evening, you know, pie and ice cream and cookies, cakes and pies and all of it. And it's just apparently at this stage of life, it's no longer recommended.
Well, but Don and I were talking about this. You know, I get up in the morning and it's go, right? And you go all day. And in the evening is when I want to eat, right? After a rodeo perf, even after a day at work, I want to eat because it's kind of like a drink. Or relaxing, right? It's part of the wind down. And I think that gets ingrained in you. And I, to this day, I will eat a big dinner. I won't eat necessarily a big lunch. If I eat a big breakfast, I love breakfast, but if I eat a big breakfast, I feel like crap all day long. So dinner's my jam. I mean, now...
Dinner's my jam. I agree.
After I had my cancer treatment, so my whole life, Donna loved ice cream, and she will eat ice cream all the time. I never really cared about ice cream, but when I went through the cancer in my throat, it changed my tastes. Well, I don't love bread and everything like I used to, but now I love ice cream. It's the weirdest thing. And so, you know, I've got to be careful because I'll grab a pint of ice cream and go sit down watching Monday Night Football and think I'm going to eat a half of it and eat the whole thing. And if I don't stop that, I'm going to need to get an extra size of pants.
Oh, I do the same. But the one thing I'll say, all ice cream is not the same. And I think it's vitally important because we're worth it. If you're going to get ice cream, get the good stuff. The good Amen. Stuff only have what? A couple of ingredients. And so then, you know, I did sort of shame Oat on his ice cream that he had the big, huge tub that he got at Walmart or whatever. And I'm like, read the ingredients. And there's like 50 things you don't know what's in there. And so to his credit, he doesn't get that anymore. But it's like all ice cream is not created equal. At least get the stuff that's healthy for you.
Well, I think if you're going to eat ice cream, eat good ice cream, right? There's a significant difference. Like the stuff that the yuppies say that you can put in the machine that makes a lot of noise and it's low calorie and all of this, it doesn't taste like ice cream. It might be cold, but it does not taste like ice cream. So I'm not doing the health food ice cream. Not doing it. No.
Fair, but for breakfast now, I do have a kale blueberry banana smoothie.
Every day?
It's actually delicious. Pretty, when I'm home, that's what I have. It really does kind of get you off to a good start. My sister-in-law got me started on that, and it's delicious and makes you feel good. So anyway, whatever, we're way off the track of rodeo, so let's get back on track.
Well, it's okay. Now, so what were we on? Because we're both going through this. Were we on what we're starting, what we're stopping? What were we on?
Well, that was what we were going to stop or whatever. And then there's continue, which mine for me is easy. And to me, continuing kind of is a kind of giving yourself like kudos or grace or something. It's a, basically things that you feel like you're doing right. And so for me, like my daily hike, going to Pilates for strength and stretching, I only go a few days a month, but it's, you know, between travel and whatever, but I love going. And then going to the gym when it fits in, or, you know, if I'm going to run to town and go to the bank, I can run by the gym because weights are, it's good for our bone density and keep those muscles going, because now we're at the use it or lose it stage of muscles. We don't want to lose that. So that's kind of like, what are you doing? What do you like that you're doing? So what, I don't know how you feel about yourself.
Well, I think I'm going to continue to, continue to work towards a deeper walk with the Lord, and then also continue to try to notice the small things, to, you know, listen to the birds. And it sounds so cheesy, especially coming from me, because I never thought I would say this, but to really stop and look out the window and recognize some of the wonderful memories that are getting created, whether we're at an event somewhere with friends, or I'm at home with my grandkids, or even with Donna and we're having dinner and a glass of wine. You know, you get a little older, you realize that more of those are behind you than they're in front of you. So that's what I'm gonna continue. That's what I think I'm gonna continue. So now then we gotta do what we're gonna start. Do we do start yet?
No, and for me, that, you know, it's somewhat personal, but it involves, I'll just say it involves Lane Frost, and it's really more of finishing a project, and
Literally
the only thing that I have that I feel like is kind of hanging over my head, and it's really difficult to do certain projects on the side of all your day jobs, but it's something that must be done, so...
Well, and I'm gonna start trying to be, on a personal level, more compassionate. I think that's a big thing that we're missing a little bit. You can be tough, and you can have expectations, but at the same time, weaving that in with a little bit of compassion. You know, I remember when I would get mad at the checker because they didn't check me out fast enough or whatever. And then again, when I went through cancer, all of a sudden I realized that someone in that standing in that line or checking you out or whatever, you don't know what they're going through. And having just a little bit of patience, right? A little bit of patience and compassion, I think, go hand in hand. I mean, even these drivers out there, come on. Like, do you really think that 30 seconds you think you're going to save and almost kill someone is worth it? I mean, so yeah. I guess I'd slow down, be patient, and be compassionate. That's probably what I would try to start getting better at anyway. So I got an idea. Why don't we take these three, whatever you want to call them, pseudo-resolution or org chart for resolutions, and apply them to our business that we're in? And it seems to me the first thing that we would start, and we'll both comment on this, was if you were the PRCA, let's run through these things for the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. What say you, Kendra? You up for that?
Okay. You want me to go first? What I would start being more transparent. And I say that with the greatest love in my heart for the mothership. and I have worked for them full-time twice in my life, and no one wants the PRCA to be successful more than I do. And I, you know, when I was their communications director, I felt very strongly about it. I have always felt strongly about it, because I feel like this is the Cowboys organization. They deserve to know. No one's ever going to be perfect all the time. But when you don't say it, whether things are going great or whether things are not going well, I feel like if you at least say, here are the facts, this is the situation, it's helpful. Communication, I guess I can't come up with a circumstance where communication is not a good idea. Because at least you've got things on top of the table. We are trying to do this. We are working on this. This is why this happened. This is why Stetson Wright ended up on the day sheets of the barrel race at the California Circuit Finals. This is what is going haywire here. You know, it's like me. I will admit I have a problem, and then here's what I'm going to do to try to work on it. Do you all have any ideas? Let's brainstorm this. If anybody has a better idea, I'm all ears, because I want it to work too. So transparency, I think, would just be very positive.
I think if the PRC to start assumes that you haven't done it before, right? So I think it's, and it goes back to transparent, but recognize your failures, just like you said, and address them and own them and fix them, right? And I think that would help them. I think ignoring a stumble isn't the best way. And it goes right back to the transparency. So it's essentially the same thing, you know, own up to it. Now, if you're the PRCA, what would you stop in 2026?
The same thing that I would stop when I went to work there the first time on January 12, 1987, fresh out of college. I would stop allowing a culture where anybody is allowed to forget that every single PRCA staff member works for the Cowboys who pay their salary. I would not, that cannot, this does not apply to everyone. I am not saying that. But when I was young and just starting my career, I showed up fresh faced, all a little Pollyanna, you know, love Cowboys, love rodeo, rah, rah. And after a while, when I would hear a few, even just a few bad apples say those stupid Cowboys, like that they were a bother or something, I'd be like, that's who we work for. You wouldn't have a job if it weren't for those Cowboys. This is their organization. Like that was so foreign to me then, and closing in on 40 years later, it is absolutely it's unacceptable. It's not okay. That culture has to be killed. In that office, that's who you work for. And both times I worked for the PRCA, I got a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of, you know, people walking up at rodeos of things that were not directly related to the communications department. And a huge complaint of Cowboys since the day I was born is that they couldn't get a return phone call. That just can't happen. you can't call into a black hole and not get a call back. And again, there are wonderful people then and now who work for the PRCA. I am not saying the PRCA staff suck. I am not saying any of that. There are so many wonderful people. But to this day, far too many Cowboys tell me all the time, do you have any idea? Is there some other workaround? Who else can I call? I can't get a call back on this. And this is their life. This is their living. They deserve a call back. So even if it's one bad apple in the whole place, get rid of that bad apple. Unacceptable.
Well, I would tell them to stop the culture that okay is good enough. This is the way we've done it. It's okay. It's good enough. It works. Don't break it. If it works, well, just because it works doesn't mean it's efficient. So I think it's a new mentality. They need more. The whole association, in my opinion, needs more of a MAGA approach. And that is, take some risks. You know, I mean, no matter what your political orientation is, some of the things that have happened in the last 6 months in this country, nobody would have ever guessed could have happened, right? Like, it was like, no, we don't do that. Why? Well, we don't do whatever it is. I'm not going to get into politics. But, you know, you spend a year and a half on a secretary system that I hear still doesn't work. You da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, is anybody being held accountable to get better? Or is just okay, good enough? And I know, the PRC, the money, the added money is increasing, and you know, and all of these things. There's always good reports every year, and the only thing usually that they think is a problem is that, you know, well, turnouts, but we don't really have a solution for that. But my goodness, technology. We've had this conversation, and you know, okay's not. Okay is just not good enough. Stop thinking the culture can't be okay is not good enough or is good enough. It needs to be here's where we want to be better, and we'll be better by 2020 or by the NFR or whatever. I think those would be great goals, and maybe they have them in place. Again, I am really armchair cowboying this a little bit, and I don't want to sound like that guy because a lot of this stuff may be implemented. I don't have the inside track on what they're doing, but we do feel like in our industry that okay is good enough, you know, and we got to continue to drive hard to be better.
Kind of along the lines, one thing that when you were saying about, you know, try some new things or whatever, I still think that one of the fundamental, very tricky things here is that the majority of the membership are not your top 15. That is very tricky. And this came up in a conversation yesterday, again, where people were talking about, you know, different people, different top 15 types spreading out and going to different circuits because now they're playing the game to get to the NFR Open. Well, the NFR Open, originally the Dodge National Circuit Finals Rodeo, then the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, now called the NFR Open. But ultimately, going back to my original days of, you know, Louis Field, Jake Barnes, Clay Cooper, I remember Claire's about, I feel like Jake and Clay won the National Circuit Finals so many times, maybe five or something. And Jake would go there and he would say to me every time, Kendra, we should not be allowed to be here. But if you're going to, if the rules say we can be here and the money counts, we're going to be here. But that feeling, Casey Field said the same thing to me. That is supposed to be the circuit guy's day in the sun, the circuit guy's NFR, but that's not what it is. It just isn't. Well, and so,
but it goes back though to something that you and I don't agree on. I don't think we agree on totally. I still think, you know, anybody can enter a rodeo. Well, if you're a beginner, let's say you filled your permit, you know, and you enter that rodeo and the sharks are entered in the same, I don't care what discipline it is, you know, how can you feel confident unless the draw screws them and blesses you? You know, I still think that it's too bad that we can't continue to compete against kind of like, you know, the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo is the top X. I like that because it's the top X. You're playing against the right group, right?
You're
it's not like JV playing varsity.
You're making my point for me, though. Maybe you're not seeing that, but you are.
But because that also goes back to the tiered thing, though, that everybody hates.
I mean, okay. But you have to give the majority of your membership, you know, imagine the loony bin I was headed for if team roping had never gotten equal money, which was the case for Leo Camarillo's freaking career and most of Jake and Clay's, okay? We didn't even have that event at a lot of places. It is by far the majority event. But your point is the exact point I was making about the National Circuit Finals. The majority of your members are not the top 15. So, okay, so there's the idea, let's make stars of our top 15. Everybody wants to, you know, the top 15, top 15. I love the top 15. There are, you know, that's who plays at our Super Bowl. This is a wonderful thing. They are our, you know, the cream. But if we don't, it's what you're saying. If we don't have special things for the majority who are not the top 15, then that doesn't feel like a sustainable model to me.
Well, I think you have to have a path. You have to have a path for a rookie that's really great, a fast track to get them up there, right? I think you've got to let people play in the, you know, that's why the team roping, right, and the handicap has grown and been successful because you have the ability to play and think you have a chance to win. And if you lose, it's because you had a worse day than you normal have, right? And as you get better, and that's just not the case in professional rodeo. It's who wins the most, who goes the most, who gets lucky the most. Now, the truth is, and I agree with people that have said this to me. I'm like, well, I want to do this or do that, or I want to have a qualifier. But you know what, Kendra? The best always win. 98% of the time, the most talented players win. Cowboys, cowgirls win. Just like the cream rises to the top no matter what. And the problem is the milk, what we're saying is, I agree. I wish they would keep the circuit. I wish they had a system to where, you know, those guys won some money and got some experience before being thrown in to a gladiator ring.
They should have their own day in the sun. It's to use Jake's exact words. Why shouldn't they have their own day in the sun?
Yeah.
Why, you know, that does make sense. And if you're going to limit rodeo, I mean, you have to have, ultimately, you don't, the whole system, the top 15 system doesn't work without that majority of the members who are not the top 15. So there needs to be some cool things for those people too.
There does, and but
so
that's
I
why
think
you can't,
you're saying.
You can't partially, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem. You want to know why the NFR is the greatest spectacle, I think maybe one of the greatest in sports. Like we talked about it, that 10 days is amazing. You know why? Because it's the very best against the best in a winner take all. Because of the money, right? Because of the money there, it really is more of a winner take all. I mean, you've got to play good at the NFR. We saw the races change all over, right? So it is everything I always say, the Super Bowl, there's a loser and a winner, but that's really the way it's set up. It's the greatest 10 days ever. But if we could set that momentum up, right, if fans had the opportunity, like we do, easily to see who's coming into the field, who's running on the outside, who's catching up, who are these rookies that all of a sudden everybody's going, oh, wait a minute, that kid's real. You know, we just got to do a better job exposing that. And, you know, most people that go to a rodeo at a county fair, they just want to be entertained. You know, yes, they want to see a great ride and they want to see a good roping. So, you know, there's ways, Kendra, besides just the circuit finals, to take care of all the levels of players. But it's going to take some thought and it's been resisted. I mean, nobody really, you know, because it's all the collect, the collective money, it's just more complicated than it sounds. There's not an easy fix.
Well, a lot of those local rodeos would just as soon see the guy who's a mechanic during the week down at the corner that works on their car.
Exactly. So, and so the fans do. I agree. Now, right. So what? Let's give them a break here, PRCA. What are the things that they've done well that they should continue?
I think just, some of this is sort of similar lines, but to do everything that they can come up with to continue to raise the rodeo bar, the professionalism of it, the integrity of it. I don't even want to get into all of the different things that kind of blew up at the NFR and stuff, but you know, the bottom line is like, may the best man win. Well, okay, so the integrity is a big one. More money. I've spent my whole career like doing everything that I could think of, you know, for more money in our sport. And so to keep, like you saying, trying some new things, setting new goals. Once you set the goals, making a detailed plan that if you step out the plan, it has a really good chance to succeed. And, you know, that's not saying, oh, the PRCA is not professional. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just like continue to raise the bar, just like every other professional sport with whatever it is. Technologies or different ways, better ways of doing things, or, you know, listen to everybody's ideas and take the best of them, you know, and just keep incorporating that to where we raise our bar all the time. We don't say stay status quo is not good enough ever. So,
well,
that's a continue.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to one stop. They have to stop. They've got to fix. In order to be credible, you have to stop these bad calls, period. It's just not acceptable. I hate to say it, and I hate to be that critical, but you can't have, in a sport where you're starting to put millions of dollars to be won, you can't have the wrong calls, period. You just can't. I don't know what it takes to fix it. You can get online, get on social media, and there's a million people that tell them how to fix it. But I think that you need to pour as much money into the judging system as you're pouring into anything else, because that decides who gets the gold buckle and who wins the money. So if it were me, I would spend whatever dollar it needed, pay those guys whatever you needed to fix that portion of pro rodeo. Now, for me, continuing on, I think they need to continue to try to... I like what they're doing, the PRCA, on their social media. I like what Amy Fast and them are doing. I like their features and their attempt at letting fans get behind the chutes, the stuff that we love about the sport, you know, uncovering these relationships and this traveling. I think they need to continue to invest in promoting their cowboys and cowgirls. Well, the Cowboys, and then, of course, the WPRA in conjunction with them. So I think they should continue that. Continue the prize money's good. I think they need to continue to figure out how to take care of the contract personnel. Because, again, I understand that this sport is a cowboy-based and that there's not a rodeo without the cowboys and cowgirls. But there's not the product that we see without fabulous and sometimes underpaid contract personnel, which, you know, and so I think that all of those things, you know, I would encourage the rodeo committees out there to continue to increase the prize money for the players, but also continue to increase the opportunities for the contract personnel so that you have your best possible product that you're selling a ticket to your community member for. So, and I think you gotta do that. Well, so we went through the PRCA. I think the next biggest one that I want to touch on, if you're okay with it, it's really our only window to pro rodeo, and that's the Cowboy Channel. Congratulations, Patrick, in getting the Cowboy Channel going. And So I'm going to combine Teton Ridge and the Cowboy Channel because Teton Ridge is the new owner. And I'll start it since you started the PRCA one. What to start? The first thing to start would be start telling us who you are and what you're doing and where you're going. We want to know where the Cowboy Channel is going. We don't want to guess. We want to know what's happening. We want to know what to expect. We want to know what's going to be on and it not be a rerun. We want to know these things. And it's important for these fans that live and die by the Cowboy Channel that they start even uncovering what Teton Ridge is. Who are you? What are you doing? Why are you in our game? What's your goals? Because if you'll just tell us,
back to
we're liable to be on your team. Transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So your what to start would be transparency for them too?
My what to start for them would be get back to creating fresh content. And my stop is just, if you continue to only show old reruns, you will lose all of us because I'm about to slash my DirecTV package because the only reason I've been paying for the premium package all these years is for the Cowboy Channel, which is, I don't watch a lot of TV, but 99% of the reason I had DirecTV in the first place was for the Cowboy Channel. And now I never watch the Cowboy Channel anymore because every once in a while I'm like, oh, cool, they're going to have the circuit finals on. And then I realize it's like 1 to 2 years old. And I'm like, I don't know how these people trying to sell the advertising, how can they sell a penny of advertising on old, what are we doing? Why are we showing rodeos that are years old? I don't understand. That also speaks to your point of communication. Do you want to tell us why you're doing that? I don't understand. I seems like a recipe for disaster. Like, no one's going to watch your channel if you show rodeos that are a year or two old.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, I agree. And, you know, there's a little bit of a lapse between the NFR and, but you have to have a plan for that. I understand everybody's going on holiday and you're keeping the channel going full time, but you got to have a plan for that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because, I don't know, it's the third or fourth CEO. So we all still, I'm going to go what to stop. Teton Ridge, more specifically, stop any of the shadow games. I understand we're going after new customers, younger people. Rocker Steiner's show's good. But at the same time, don't forget the ones you danced with to begin with. There's a lot of us older, avid rodeo fans that just want to be able to watch good competition when we expect it.
Fair.
What you'd like to see them stop? I guess running reruns, right?
Yeah, running reruns. And to me, like, on the continue, I would say to remember if you spit in the face of our Cowboy base, you will lose.
True. I agree with you 100%. But to continue, if I'm looking at the stuff they've done good, I remember when Patrick got started and he told me I'm going to put every rodeo on TV. I thought it was a terrible idea. I did. I thought it was a terrible idea. Now, there's a lot of not great rodeos that have been on TV, but there are people out there that want to watch all the rodeos, whether they're great or not, and let them watch them on the app and put the premier product on the cable channel. And I think that's the direction that they're going, Kendra, is, you know, the premier, better produced events are on the primary cable channel. And then if you want to see everything, you go to the app, which is easy now. You can stream it right on your TV. It's not that hard. You can watch every rodeo you want to watch. And I hope they keep all that content there because I was very surprised at how many people really love access, full access to 600 rodeos a year. So, well, this sounds like a beat up session. I feel like my whole compassion thing I started with doesn't feel so good anymore. Well, I think those are the big ones. Any other big groups in rodeo you think we should run through? Maybe the WPRA?
That's fine. I mean, I didn't see you at the breakaway finals. Were you there? I was there the second night.
I was not. I was close. I was right down the road, but I did not go. I took care of my grandkids because my son went and worked the event. And and it was my daughter-in-law's birthday, so they went out. So I took care of Donna and I took care of the grandkids. Nice. But I heard nothing but great stuff about the breakaway finals at the Cowtown Coliseum. Nothing but great stuff.
Mm-hmm. If we were going to boil it down, well, I'll just say the experience that what I saw is, it's my understanding from our friend Ann Bleicher that basically the same number of tickets were sold, but the perception of the vibe of it was completely different from having a middle of the day, very scattered in the crowd, size of the crowd, versus having it at night, there was a lot of energy, there was production. I guess if I was going to boil this down, you know, the short version, it's like, well, if I feel like I would be tempted if I was them to start working with people who really want to work with them. Amen. And to stop chasing those who are clearly not interested. And I don't want to read too much into that or cause any sort of range wars or anything, but, the continue part would be to continue to work hard to serve your members, just like I would say about the PRCA. But it's like, to me, I think one thing that there are some wide open, welcoming arms for the breakaway.
Amen.
Go to the light. Go to the light. You know,
well,
this
whole deal could be a blessing in disguise if they see it, right? Why force your, you already said it, so I'm not going to repeat it. But go somewhere where you're the key. Like you're the marquee, right? Go to your people, be the marquee. You know, it's the same thing with Steer Open, in my opinion. I think what they've done a great job is that they've went and they have a great event. And everybody that goes there loves it. They love the experience, da, da, da. Well, maybe take a page from that. And think about maybe doing that yourself, because breakaway's big. There's people out there that would love to host that thing.
I'm not a professional breakaway rapper, but I feel like if I was a spiritual advisor for 1 hour, it would be like, focus on the ultimate goal. What is that? For me, it would be the most money. Don't think it's not possible that the breakaway ropers could not be roping for more money than what's at the NFR. It's possible. And I think one thing that is interesting, I did think Cowtown was a winner for that finals. And I know some people were mad that it dipped into their Christmas, that they had to drive there. I know all that. But as somebody who actually got on a plane and made the effort to go, I'm like, okay, I thought it was a win. Because it holds what, 3,000 and some people, but when you have a packed house and everybody's jacked to be there, super cool. The only thing that I thought was really difficult about the timing, logistical, you know, inconveniences or whatever aside, was that the Kimes event was right before it. And yeah, you had four people winning $100,000 or more right before you crowned your world champions for a quarter of the money. That's tricky, you know? The good news is the event commands the Kimes, you know, what I don't know. I don't know the Kimes family. Obviously, they're huge proponents of women in rodeo or breakaway or whatever it is. But I mean, I guess the obvious question is, is there a reason that these people don't join forces? I'm told it's sponsor conflict reasons. I don't know that firsthand. That's what the speculation is. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, the money that these people won in the last month is out of this galaxy from where it came from very few short years ago.
Well, and, you know, hats off to the PBR and the development people. They have the facelift that they've given Cowtown Coliseum is stunning. Their management staff there is good. They were very accommodating. It was a nice size and lots of production features that again, that's not taking anything away from anywhere else it's been. It just, even being an evening, right, is nice, right? And a dedicated, you know, it's not a sideline. It's not a, you know, early morning or, you know, it just, I hope that they noticed that. Now, the timing of it could always be changed. Like, there's no reason it can't happen whenever. I mean, after the season, but whenever. So I think, I hope, because I thought there was some good out of what was terrible in the onset of everything. And so I think that was good. And, you know, I think one thing that we learned in reality is that, some people posted about it. It was very good. But this industry rides on the back of a horse. And it's no irony that they're saying 2026 is the year of the horse. I guess that's the thing. But this industry really does ride on the back of horses. And we saw that in the 3 weeks leading up to the NFR. And I think it's a good thing for us to not take for granted those wonderful animals with the soft eyes that try to throw a guy off and make the score in the bulldogging, right? Different personalities of horses. Thank God for the horse. You know.
Well, what a grand blessing that I didn't hear of one EHB1 illness anywhere affiliated with Las Vegas. What a blessing.
Well, hats off to the biomeasures. I mean, hats off to what everybody pulled off. Everybody. I'm talking about the poor guy with the sprayer pack on that was spraying 26 hours a day. Like all of these people, right? All of the NFR folks, the LVE folks, Alan with the NFR, all, Tim Keener, the World Series folks, like hats off. You know, let us, you know, we're often critical, but congratulations. You dodged a bullet because you worked your butt off and you made it happen. And praise God, it worked out. Praise God, no horses were hurt. Everybody got to compete. But thank you to everybody that busted their butt to make sure the NFR happened, because a lot of livelihoods, not just the Cowboys, all of us realized that that rodeo could have a huge impact on our life without it. So.
For sure. Yeah, it was a great success.
We didn't know if we were going to jump on. We had some technical issues. I'm here for 2 weeks, so maybe the next one will have technical issues. Evidently, maybe the internet's smelling all the weed and getting a little screwed around over here or whatever. But Kendra, happy new year to you. And I'm excited about 2026 for both of us. And we both collectively wish the sport of rodeo, the Cowboy Channel, the WPRA, and everybody incredible success. Keep up the work. Don't get down. We're going to be critical because we want you to succeed. That's why we're critical. Not because we're against you. We're actually on your team, right?
And I don't even see it as being critical, because I don't choose to bash these people at all. I choose to just be like, let's go. We can do it. Like, you know, if we all work together, it's all going to be better. Like I, you know, but anybody who thinks that they've arrived is never going to get any better. And I say it all the time because it's true. Every world champion I've ever interviewed was always thinking he could be better and do better.
Well, I'm critical, but it's the intent is I just want us to be great and continue to make lives better in our sport that we love. So I hope all of you have a wonderful, wonderful 2026. Kendra and I are going to ride through it together again this year. We'll see what the future holds for us with No Spin Rodeo. But we want to take a moment to thank you for listening to us for 2 years. Thank you to all the avid fans that come up to us. It's such an honor when you come up and say, you know, I had several of the very successful rodeo queens say that part of their education course getting ready for their Q&A was actually No Spin Rodeo. So that's quite an honor. So thank you, everybody. Thank you.
For sure. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's episode 96. This is No Spin Rodeo. That's Kendra Santos, the first lady of pro rodeo journalism. I am the lowly Tommy Joe Lucia. Until we meet again, God bless you. Be safe. Have fun out there.